Jonathan's Dig.
Hello, Jonathan. Well, how did it go?
Hello, my dear. Yes, it went very well.
Good. Oh, you brought some books home, I see. Don't tell me they gave you books.
No, these are library books.
Oh.
I called in on my way home. Now you've retired, I told myself, you'll have time to enlarge your mind.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I thought they wouldn't give you books. What did they give you?
A watch.
But you've already got two watches.
Oh, they didn't consult me, my dear. They always give watches. Once they gave gold hunters, and then they made it wristwatches. And now, moving into the electronic age, they've given me an electronic watch. Look. It made me think.
Oh, it's very attractive. Why did it make you think?
Well, there it is, showing the time in those angular numbers. See how the seconds change. 24, 25, 26.
Yes, oh yes, yes, it's certainly very clever.
Yeah, and if I want to know the date, I press this little button and it flashes on. You see, the 23rd day of the third month.
Well, when I want to know the date, I look at the calendar, dear.
And see again, if I want to time myself doing something, I press this other button once and everything goes to zero. Then I press it again and the seconds begin to tick away. And when I've finished, I press it again, and it stops.
Yeah. Showing you how long it took you to do whatever it was you were doing.
Yes.
But what use is it?
Well, one chap said I could use it to time myself over 100 metres. That was a joke.
That was a joke? Did they laugh?
Well, why not?
Did you?
Well, as soon as I realised it was meant to be a joke... Well, he was only 35, and he was making his first speech... He was rather nervous. I didn't want to discourage him.
So what? It was very rude of him to make a joke like that about a man of your age.
Well, it wasn't rude, just bad taste, my dear. Anyhow, this watch made me think. I said to myself, how the devil does that work, eh? Inside that watch, something's happening. Something I can't understand. There's a bit of quartz inside, and that supervises the passing of the seconds. And flashes all those peculiar little numbers on the panel. It's all very mysterious. And I haven't a clue how it works.
Does it matter?
Well, it does matter. This watch is a symbol.
A symbol?
A symbol of my ignorance. I look into my mind and what do I see? Invincible ignorance on a multitude of subjects.
Oh, don't be silly, Jonathan. What about your French? Is that ignorance?
No, I'm referring to knowledge that enlarges the mind. What do I know about philosophy, for instance? Nothing. What do I know about science? Again, nothing. What do I know...
So you went to the library and got all those books out?
Yes. Now I have leisure, I shall improve myself. So, there you are, book one. Discourses on Western Philosophy by Fotheringstein.
Oh, that should be very interesting. Book two?
Science for Every Man.
Good.
And finally, coming down to earth, to grow your own vegetables.
Ah, now we could do with growing our own vegetables. Everything's so expensive these days.
I'll start with page one.
And what does page one say?
Potatoes. All you have to do is dig a trench, pile some manure in, drop the seed potatoes on top, fill in and wait.
And while you're waiting, you could turn to page two.
Page two is carrots.
Oh, lovely.
Now, what have I learned so far? A few things. For example, about the sun. There it is, beating down upon my back. I know it is 93 million miles away. I know its light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. And this means, so the book tells me, that the light that now casts my shadow in front of me set out on its long journey nearly 8.5 minutes ago. Do I feel in any way improved as a result of this piece of information? Oh, frankly, the answer is no. Mm.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Briggs.
You're digging, I see.
Yes, I am. I'm digging. Nice day.
Yes. You'll keep well away from my fence, won't you?
I am keeping well away from it.
Yes, but you won't pile any of that wet soil against the timber, I hope.
No, I assure you I...
Wet soil will rot timber, you know, and if you get wet rot, it spreads.
I shall make it my personal responsibility to see that your fence does not rot. Please accept my assurance.
There is another thing.
Oh, is there?
The roots of that tree of yours, that one...
Well, you mean the lilac? What about it?
The roots are invading my garden.
Invading your garden?
Mm.
Invading? You mean they're assaulting it? The guerrilla warfare?
I mean, Mr. Gray, they're growing under my fence, from your side to mine. I was planting my dahlias yesterday, and I found your roots all over the place.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There is such a thing as nuisance, you know.
Nuisance?
The law recognises nuisance, and your roots are a nuisance, and I've got drains here too, and I don't want your roots crawling along them and clogging them up, so I suggest you cut them on your side.
Oh, I'd better cut them back then.
Yes. But when? They'll be growing fast at this time of the year.
I'll cut them back as soon as I finish this job I'm on. I'm planting potatoes.
Potatoes?
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of foliage with potatoes. They'll get wet and touch
and
it.
And rot it, yes.
Yes.
Well, I'll keep well away from your fence.
You've got to be careful when it comes to fences.
Yeah, goodbye, Mr. Briggs. Oh, fusspot. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, I was asking myself whether the knowledge that the light of the sun takes 8.5 minutes. Yeah. Oh, what a huge stone. More like a rock. I'll soon have you out, you brute. That's enough. I'll lift you out. You've been lying here for the Lord knows how many years, but now your time has come. I will heave up at you. If you... There, you're out. Now... What's that? That's odd. Very odd indeed. See that, Mildred?
That bit of old brick, yes.
That's not a bit of old brick, my dear. Look at it.
What was Mr. Briggs saying to you over the fence?
Look, the colour. Brownish red.
No, Jonathan, I said, what was Mr. Briggs
saying? See this part? That's a rim. You know what I think this is?
Come on, you better tell me. Then we can get down to Mr. Briggs.
It's part of a vase. Do you remember that time we went to that museum in York?
Yes.
We saw bits of pottery like this. They were Roman.
Ooh.
Now, this could be Roman.
Didn't know the Romans ever come here. Where'd you find it?
In a patch where I'm planting the potatoes.
Oh, now that was very clever of you, Jonathan. Now, what was Mr. Briggs saying? He looked anxious about something.
Oh, he's always anxious about something. He's the anxious type. His body is thin and sinewy, and so is his mind.
Mm.
He said I was to keep well away from his fence.
Oh, well, you can do that, can't you? I mean, we've got a large garden.
Yes, but in addition, he wants me to cut the roots of our lilac tree, because, his words, they're invading his garden.
Oh, no, our lovely lilac tree.
Oh, it won't come to any harm. We must keep on good terms with Mr. Briggs. We all know his methods.
Oh, yes. He takes everybody to court.
Yes. Mr. Briggs knows his rights. True, he knows very little else. But we must face the facts. He took his neighbour on the other side to court because of that shed, didn't he?
Oh, yes. And he won, didn't he?
Yes, he won. With costs. So, we must cooperate with Mr. Briggs.
Oh, you are too mild, Jonathan. You always have been.
I admit I'm not a match for the man. I don't know the law on lilac roots, but I'm going to assume that Briggs does. So I'll cut them back. Yeah. In the meantime...
Yes, dear, in the meantime...
I'd like to carry out a small excavation.
Excavation? Where?
Where I intended to plant the potatoes. The rest of this Roman vase must be somewhere.
But being careful to avoid the fence.
Of course. And I shall dig another patch for the potatoes. But here again I am confronted by my own ignorance. What do I know about archaeology? Nothing. So I shall go to the library.
Get another book out.
Yes.
I shall also return Fotheringstein's Discourses on Western Philosophy, which I must confess has only succeeded in spreading darkness.
Now, what's that?
Here I am looking for the rest of that Roman vase, and I come across this. I'll bet that's a flint arrowhead. It's just like the illustration in the book. This could be a real find. This could be important.
I say...
Hello, Mr. Briggs. What can I do for you?
I see you've moved nearer my fence in spite of everything I said.
A little nearer, but I am a good 3 feet away.
Oh, I'd say that was nearer 2 feet, Mr. Gray.
Well, without admitting your estimate, I'd say 2 feet is a safe distance.
You see that post?
I do, yes.
It's set in concrete. If you undermine the concrete, that post will fall.
But I have no intention of undermining it.
But if it falls, it'll bring the fence down with it.
I assure you...
You're digging rather deep, aren't you, for potatoes?
I've changed my mind. I'm not growing potatoes here.
Then what?
I am undertaking a small excavation. You see, I've already found what I believe to be part of a Roman vase, and I'm looking for the rest of it. In the meantime, I've found this very interesting flint.
What you do on your side of the fence is no concern of mine.
Oh, glad to hear you say so.
But keep away from my fence.
Look, don't fuss, Mr. Briggs.
What did you say? Me fussing? When your lilac roots are invading my garden, invading my privacy...
I've already cut them back, and while we're on the subject of invading privacy, will you please stop invading mine?
Invading your privacy? Me?
By poking your head over the fence every time I do a little work.
Poking my head over my fence? My fence? I'll do what I like over my fence, Mr. Gray.
And you do so with my blessing.
Oh, you weren't rude to him, were you?
Oh, Mildred, am I ever rude to anybody? Am I not the mildest of men?
Yes, you do give that impression.
Now, look at that.
What is it?
It's a flint arrowhead. At least I think it is.
Oh, it looks like a bit of chipped stone to me.
Yes, that's the trouble. The book says that flint arrowheads can bear a very close resemblance to bits of chipped stone. And, of course, vice versa. It takes an expert to identify them.
And where can you find an expert?
I'll turn myself into one.
Who?
Well, after all, isn't that the way to spend my retirement? Usefully. Yeah, my best plan will be to go to the College of Further Education and see whether they run any courses on archaeology. I need some experience and advice before I undertake a dig.
What's a dig?
Well, it's the term the experts use to describe an archaeological excavation.
Oh.
Yes, I must get some knowledge. I've read what the book says about flint arrowheads, and it says, look out for bulbar cavities in the main nodule and for bulbs of percussion in the flakes.
Oh, fancy.
Well, this afternoon I shall visit the College of Further Education and find out whether they have such a course.
Well, Mr. Gray, what can I do for you?
The point is, Mr. Walters, I've just retired, and as a consequence...
I know, the old story, time on your hands. In that case...
Not exactly.
In that case, you've come to just the right place. You'll be interested in our course entitled Preparation for Retirement, then.
Oh.
Excellent course. One of our most successful ventures.
As a matter of fact, I wasn't thinking of that particular course. I was wondering whether you had anything on archaeology.
Archaeology? Now, do you mean classical archaeology?
No.
Because if so, we don't offer it here. That's more the province of the university.
No, not classical. You see...
Industrial archaeology, then? Well, unfortunately...
I mean ordinary archaeology. Flint arrowheads. That sort of thing.
Ah, yes. Well, I'm afraid we don't.
But your prospectus says that other courses can be arranged if necessary.
Yes, well, provided there's a suitable demand...
Oh, dear. And how big must a demand be before it's considered suitable?
We normally expect a minimum of 10 before a course can be considered viable. However, I'll make a note of your name, and then if we can find another 9...
I could persuade my wife to join.
And then if we can find another 8, we'll think about it again. But the possibility is remote.
Oh, as bad as that, is it?
Very remote. Now, I suggest you leave me your address, and in the event of 8 further applicants, in the event of that extremely unlikely eventuality, I shall write to you.
I look forward to hearing from you, then.
But I... don't want to give you the impression that there's much hope, Mr. Gray.
I can assure you that you haven't given me any such impression, Mr. Walters.
Jonathan, a letter for you.
Oh, thank you. Ah, yes. It's from the College of Further Education. Bringing what sort of news, I wonder. Dear me. Just as I thought.
Bad news?
Yes, as expected. Mr. Walters regrets he cannot see his way to introducing a course on archaeology, but there has been one other applicant, a Mr. Trickett. In view of your mutual interest in archaeology, I am taking the liberty of sending you his address, which is 34 Cowmeadow Lane, here in Wishton, Bilbury.
And that's all?
Sorry that in the circumstances, etc., etc., you sincerely.
Oh, what a pity. And just when you were becoming keen on it.
Archaeology is a lonely sort of interest. I think I'll call on Mr. Trickett and see whether he can help me. One never knows.
Yes, I've been interested in archaeology for some years now. In fact, ever since I read about Schliemann.
Schliemann?
Sure you've heard of Heinrich Schliemann?
Well.
The man who excavated Troy and Mycenae, surely.
My ignorance in these matters is almost complete, I'm afraid.
And his famous telegram? The one he sent when he found the golden death mask in Mycenae? The one that said, "Today I have looked upon the face of Agamemnon"? Perhaps the most famous telegram in history.
Really?
As it turned out, it wasn't the face of Agamemnon after all, but it was very exciting nevertheless.
It must have been. My trouble is I know nothing about archaeology except what I've read in books, so...
You've, not been on a dig yet?
I haven't. I've only recently become interested. Have you?
I have been so privileged. I managed to get on one during my last vacation.
And did you find anything?
Yes. An oyster shell.
Is that all?
But what an oyster shell. I think. Just imagine some unknown primitive man found that oyster, Mr. Gray. He opened it and consumed its contents. And then he cast the empty shell aside, and then what happened? 3,000 years later, 3,000 years, I come along and dig it up.
It was as old as that. 3,000 years.
So it was established?
And where is it now? In the British Museum?
No, I have it here. Take a look at it, you see. I've had it set in this plastic frame.
Oh, that's marvellous. You mean they let you keep it?
Yes. They had, as a matter of fact, found thousands of others near the patch where I was digging. The supervisory comes up to me and said, "Mr. Trickett, you can keep that shell you found. Keep it as a gift, for you have made a valuable contribution."
Oh, that must have been very encouraging. A valuable contribution.
Yes, his very words. Mm. "You've worked on that patch for 2 weeks," he said, "and you have proved beyond all possible doubt that there's nothing there."
Apart from the oyster shell.
A lot of work for a single oyster shell, you might say. But some must explore the blind alleys. Noble spirits, Mr. Gray.
95% sweat and 5% discovery, I suppose.
Well, in my case, nearly 100% sweat. But it was worth it.
Yes.
The sore knees, the aching back, and the rain. That's one thing you'll find out. It usually rains. So, you haven't been on a dig yet.
No. But I think I found my own private one.
You have? That's lucky. Where?
In my back garden.
You mean here in Wishton Bilbury?
Yes.
But there's nothing in these parts. That's always been my trouble. There's no history of settlements in Wishton Bilbury.
But I have found 2 things.
You have?
A piece of pottery from what looks like a Roman vase, and a flint arrowhead.
Oh, let me see them. I mean, you might be mistaken.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't bring them with me. Oh,
that's a nuisance. How deep were they?
Well, the pottery was about a foot down. Mm. And the flint, say, about 2.5.
Say about 2.5? Now, that's not good enough.
What do you mean?
When you make a dig, the position of every find must be carefully measured. Say about 2.5 feet, indeed. That's too slapdash. He was saying next he was using a spade.
I was, as a matter of fact. Wrong, I suppose.
I'll say. The spade is the curse of archaeologists. It's the sign of the amateur.
Oh.
Listen, Mr. Gray. When I unearthed my oyster shell, was I using a spade? No. I was using a spoon and toothbrush. Every cubic centimetre of soil had to be carefully sifted. There is no shortcut.
Well, I'll remember that.
Now, what you need is a book. Here, now look at that.
Oh, thank you.
Elementary Excavation by Bannerman. You've heard of him, of course.
Bannerman. Well, I'm not...
Oh, I mean, his name is a household word.
Oh, I'm prepared to believe it. What did he do?
What did he do? Well, surely you remember how he found traces of a Celtic settlement in Wapping.
Yes, I did read something.
That shook the world, I can tell you. That made the experts sit up. But, look, before you do any more damage...
Yes?
I'd better have a look at this dig of yours.
Oh, that would be a pleasure.
So I'll come along this weekend, say Sunday afternoon?
Oh, that'll be very suitable.
3:30?
3:30. And thank you for your time.
Sit down, Mr. Trickett.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Gray. Thank you. I must say I'm anxious to see this dig of your husband's.
Oh, yes, yes. He needs somebody to advise him, don't you, Jonathan?
Yes, I certainly do.
Yes. I suppose you have made a great number of excavations, Mr. Trickett.
He found an oyster shell that is 3,000 years old, my dear.
Now, imagine that.
Yes, before I have a look at your dig, I'd better see those finds, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, I have them here. Now, that's the bit of pottery.
Yes, and you think that's Roman?
Well, the colour, that deep brown.
It's too brown, and the texture is wrong.
Nice and pretty.
Oh, so it's not Roman. What a shame.
Well, it was probably chipped off some dinner dish belonging to some labourer or other last century. And now the arrowhead.
Got yes, that? Yeah.
Ah.
Yes?
That's more interesting. That does look like an arrowhead.
Well, that's what I thought.
Rather like a swallowtail arrowhead.
Yeah?
Not quite the right shape, but near enough. But you can never tell with flints. You have to be careful, you see.
Yes, that's what the book says.
But this seems genuine enough.
Mm-hmm.
You see that little hollow?
Yes.
I'll bet my boots that's a bulbar cavity.
Just what is a bulbar cavity?
A bulbar cavity, it is a depression left when somebody hits a flint nodule with another flint to break a piece off of it. Yes, this flint is a very good sign. And you say you actually found it in your garden?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right. Lead the way.
We'll go through the French window.
So that's it?
Yes. What do you think?
All wrong.
What? All of it?
Most of it. Too much horizontal digging.
Really?
Vertical digging first, horizontal next. That's a safe rule for beginners. Deepen your trench and get a vertical view, right? You know that?
Yes.
Find out what the layers have to say. Have you sniffed the dirt?
The dirt? Oh, you mean the soil.
No, by soil we mean the top layer only. So you haven't sieved it?
No, it didn't occur to me that it was...
Rule one, sieve all dirt, right?
Yes.
You never know what you may be missing if you chuck everything to one side. Rule two, make a plan. Now, where did you find that arrowhead?
There, about 2 feet or so down.
In centimetres, Mr. Gray. The universal language of archaeology. Well, you don't expect an archaeologist in France or Peru to understand your feet in inches, do you?
No.
Yes, I reckon you have a job here that will keep you occupied for some weeks.
It's going to be more complicated than I thought.
If you don't find it complicated, you're doing it wrong. Depend on that.
I see you're still at it.
Oh.
Near my fence.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Briggs. Let me...
You're sure you're not coming any nearer, are you?
Of course. This is Mr...
That fence cost £1 a foot. It should last for years with proper care.
Yes. This is Mr. Trickett. Mr. Trickett, Mr. Bridge.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Trickett is an archaeologist.
What is an archaeologist doing here, coming and looking at that hole you're digging?
We may find something of interest in it.
And what do you mean by that? You mean more digging?
Mr. Gray has already found a flint arrowhead.
So he told me. You mean he found it in that hole?
Yes.
There, in that very spot.
That's very near my fence. You mean there may be more of them?
There should be.
And what if they're under my fence? Tell me that.
Well, in that case, we would, of course, expect your cooperation.
You won't get any cooperation from me that means going anywhere near my fence. Oh, no. Make a mess of your own garden if you want, but you leave my fence alone.
He seems a queer character.
He's worried about his fence.
So I gathered. Now, what you need is a spoon, a knife, and a toothbrush. And I'll show you how to use them.
Sugar, Mr. Trickett?
Not for me. Now, what you've got to look for is something that can be dated.
Such as?
Well, bones are best. Find a bone and I'll have it dated, OK?
I'll do me best. How will you have it dated?
Oh, well, surely you've heard of carbon dating.
Vaguely.
Well, but my husband is only a beginner, you know.
But carbon dating is very well known. They're always doing documentaries on it on the television.
Ah, yes. Well, we watch very little television, I'm afraid.
How does it work?
Well, it's too complicated to explain now, but I have a friend at the university who has access to the necessary apparatus. You see, say you find a bone at the same depth as that arrowhead. And let's suppose carbon dating gives its age as 5,000 years.
Yes.
Well, that means the arrowhead is more or less the same age. Have you got that?
Yes.
That's why you mustn't go at things with a spade. One thing you must do, when you've established the layers, topsoil, loam, brown earth, clay, gravel, you then start working horizontally outwards.
What? You mean over the lawn?
Yes, it's perfectly simple. You skim the top of the lawn off and then work your way down inch by inch.
With a spoon?
Oh, it does seem rather drastic, doesn't it? I mean, wrecking a good lawn?
Well, it's a matter of priorities. What's a lawn in comparison with the advancement of knowledge? So, you'll get down to it then, Mr. Gray?
Yes.
And I'll keep in touch to advise you.
You're very kind.
Your Mr. Trickett is a very forceful man, Jonathan, isn't he?
He certainly gives an impression of uncontrolled enthusiasm. I'm sorry I undertook this dig now. All I see ahead of me is hard work.
Yes, you were silly to get mixed up in it. I mean, he treats you as if you was a small boy.
Mm. Oh, that's his manner, my dear. Deep down in his heart, he knows I'm not a small boy.
So... you'll get down to it then, Mr. Gray. Surely you've heard of carbon dating. Oh, Jonathan, why do you let people tread all over you?
I really don't know, dear. All I do know is people have been treading all over me all my life. And yet somehow I've always managed to outstrip them. Mm. Remember, when I retired, I was in charge of a department. And most of those who had been treading all over me were now my juniors.
Yes, well, you know very well what I mean. You've cut the roots of the lilac tree just to pacify Mr. Briggs. And you invite that Trickett here just to order you about.
But still, digging a hole in your own garden does add an extra dimension to life.
Oh, yes, yes, so long as you keep off that lawn.
It's a bone, all right.
Good. That's what I thought.
You know exactly where you found it?
Exactly. To a centimetre.
Oh, you're improving splendid. 10 out of 10. Good.
What sort of bone is it?
A small bone. I'd say it belonged to, say, a rabbit.
Oh. But how did a rabbit get that far down? Did it burrow down there and then die?
I'll know when I have had it dated. But it looks old to me. You see how brown it is? You know what caused that?
No.
No, of course you wouldn't know. Now, there's iron in the soil, and over the years it is seeped into the bone. Yes, this could be very old. I can see it all.
See what?
To be a good archaeologist, you have to have a good imagination. Put yourself back in time, you see? All those years ago, a rabbit was hopping about. And then, wham, death. Perhaps a hawk. Perhaps some primitive man threw a rock at it. Who knows? You say you found it in the side of the trench. Which side?
Mr. Briggs's side.
Right. You'll have to extend the trench on that side.
But that means approaching the fence.
Oh, damn the fence. This is archaeology. I'm not going to be held up simply because some boar has erected a fence over what may prove to be a valuable site. No, sir.
But
there are no buts. You'll have to dig sideways to find the rest of this rabbit. This single bone can't be on its own. My guess is we are on the edge of a Stone Age midden, and where they chuck their rubbish. Ain't you seen the signs?
Oh, I think so.
So far, everything is in ones. One Stone Age man drops one arrowhead. One rabbit drops one bone. It confirms my theory. We are working on the edge, and we're not going to be held up by a fence.
But Mr. Briggs will object.
I'll have a word with you, Mr. Briggs. Leave it to me. I can handle difficult people.
You called on him, then?
Yes, an uncooperative man, if ever I saw one.
Yes.
He kept me on the doorstep. There was a chain across the door. Yeah. You thought I was trying to break in and rob him.
Well, that's him all over, isn't it? Suspicious.
You told him that all we wanted to do was dig closer to the fence.
I did, and I was very tactful. I hinted that the fence might have to come down, of course. And he said no. Well, his actual words were, if he so much as touches my fence, I'll have the law on him.
Oh, well, that seems final enough. So we better stop.
Stop? Oh, no. There's a couple of feet of clear space yet. So we better get some work done. We better get on with it.
Well, if you say so.
You haven't got such a thing as a deck chair, have you?
We have. Why?
Well, my back, you know. I'll sit and observe.
And give instructions.
Your husband has a lot to learn yet.
Carefully.
I assure you that I...
Stop there.
Why?
Now, that's interesting. You see, the earth is changing colour.
Oh, is it?
Yes, you have to train yourself to observe such things. Carry on.
Yeah, oh... Damn.
What's the matter?
Oh, it's a tree root or something. You see, it's running out of Mr. Briggs's side of the fence. Hand me the spade and I'll hack it away.
A tree root at that depth? Nonsense. Hardly. I'd better come down. Will you just lend me a hand, will you?
All right. All right.
Well. And you wanted to hack at it with a spade. Yes, it's a good job I was here.
Why, what is it?
Fascinating. Unless I am sadly mistaken, we are on the point of making a remarkable discovery.
Oh, are we?
It's a very good job I was here.
You've already said that.
You amateurs. This root of yours happens to be a bone.
Oh, you mean it's the rest of the rabbit?
Hardly. Unless the rabbit arranged for this part of itself to be buried several hundred years lower down than the part we found. Not a likely possibility.
Oh, well, what is it, then?
This bone is human.
Oh, shall I pull it out?
No, not on your life. Now, don't rush. I rather think this bone... Yes, I'm pretty sure that this bone is a metatarsal.
A metatarsal?
Part of a human foot. It would be best to uncover it a little bit more, I think.
Oh, well, shall I start scraping, then?
No. I'll... do this. This is a job for the expert. Could you just pass me the scraper?
Yeah, sorry.
Scraper. And meanwhile, if you could just nip back into the house and ask Mrs. Gray to make a pot of tea. Not too strong. There. It's uncovered. That's a metatarsal, all right?
Yeah. You're going to leave it there, then?
For the time being. One thing you have got to learn. When you make a find, don't rush at it and pull it out. That's your trouble. You get too excited.
I don't think I am excited.
You want to rush at it. From now on, everything must be carefully planned. From now on, I take complete charge, okay?
Yeah, hadn't we better get some advice?
Now, what do I want advice for?
I mean an expert.
I know what I am doing. And besides, what happens if you bring somebody else in? They take over and get the credit. This is my own enterprise. Haven't I nursed it from the beginning? Think, Mr. Gray, use your imagination. Don't you appreciate...
Yes, but look. Isn't there a snag?
What do you mean? Here we are looking at the footbone of what will undoubtedly become known as Wishton Bilberry Man.
I mean the way Wishton Bilberry Man is pointing. If this is his foot, now where's the rest of him?
Well, what does that matter?
Only that the rest of him is in Mr. Briggs's garden.
That's no snag. Surely, when the facts are displayed before Mr. Briggs, when I have explained to him the importance of this find...
Mr. Gray!
You can explain it to him now.
Just as I thought.
Mr. Briggs, just the man I wanted to see.
In spite of everything I've said, you've come right up to that post.
I'm sorry, but you see...
Let me handle this, please, Mr. Gray. Mr. Briggs, I am conducting here, as you can see, what may turn out to be a major excavation.
What you do on your side of the fence is no concern of mine, so long as you've done...
Granted, Mr. Briggs, granted. What I want you to do now is bend over the fence and look into the trench, and you will see a bone in the side.
Where?
A human bone. There.
A human bone? How do you know?
Lean over and see for yourself.
I don't believe you. Let me see. Oh!
Hey,
oh! Oh! Oh!
Easy, easy. Careful. Oh! Oh! Careful.
Are you hurt?
Hurt? I'll say I'm hurt. And look at my fence. Look at what you've done.
Well, I'm very sorry.
You've dug right up to the concrete foundations of that post and weakened it. I'll make you pay for this. You'll make that fence good.
I'll personally guarantee that Mr. Gray will pay to have it restored as good as new. It was very thoughtless of him to come so close to the foundation.
And look at my trousers. Stained with mud. Ruined.
And Mr. Gray will be only too pleased to send them to the cleaners.
I'll sue him if he doesn't. Mark my words.
There'll be no need to sue, will there, Mr. Gray?
Well, I...
But listen. I have unearthed the edge of what is clearly a Stone Age burial site. Unfortunately, the rest of it is under your garden.
Where it will stay, Mr. Whoever you are. Where it will stay.
So that's that.
No. Not quite. What we want now is some publicity.
Publicity?
The local newspaper. I know the editor. We must bring pressure to bear on that awkward fellow.
That's very interesting, Mr. Trickett.
Nothing like this has been uncovered in Wishton Bilberry before. Have you got that?
Yes.
It's a unique find. That's the point. I arrived just in the nick of time. A couple of seconds later, and Mr. Gray would have hacked the bone to pieces with his spade. But I'm only on the verge. Much remains to be done. Now, I suppose you want to take a photograph, will you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I suggest you...
I'll go into the trench. Right. Will that do?
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'll point to the bone.
Hold it.
You sure you got the bone in?
Yes, hold it.
Uh-huh.
That's it, then.
Ah, and for the caption, I suggest you say something like, Mr. John William Trickett.
John William.
You spell that Trickett with two T's.
No,
two T's at the end, not the beginning.
Sorry.
Mr. John William Trickett pointing to the metatarsal of Wishton Bilberry Man. Got it?
Yes. Yeah, I've got it.
More tea, Mr. Trickett?
Yes, thank you. Being interviewed is thirsty work. And now, Mr. Gray, I want you to call on Briggs and collect his trousers. And when you've had them cleaned, give them to me.
Look, now, couldn't my husband just tell him to take them to the cleaners himself and send the bill to him?
No. The personal touch is important here. I want an excuse to call on Briggs, so I shall take the trousers to him personally. And then I'll show him the newspaper article and endeavour to obtain his cooperation. I'll appeal to his vanity.
What if he hasn't got any vanity?
Most men have. He'll be only too pleased to get his name in the papers. The common herd have this weakness.
Mm, how nice it must be not to belong to the common herd.
I agree with you, Mrs. Gray. For myself, I have always avoided publicity.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Mr. Gray,
I suggest you see about getting that fence fixed.
The inspector asked me to call, Mr. Gray.
Yes?
About that bone what was found in your garden, as reported in the Gazette. The bone is reported to be human.
Well, I'm by no means an authority officer.
The inspector's of the opinion there should be a post-mortem.
Fancy. And one bone?
Oh, it's the rule. To establish the facts. First, is the bone human?
And then, if it is?
To establish the cause and time of death, for which we'll need the rest of the skeleton.
Which is in Mr. Briggs's garden. You'll have to dig it up, then.
Oh, first things first. We must establish that the bone is human. No need to spread alarm, and it would be bad publicity for the police if we went to Mr. Briggs's garden with our spades and found it wasn't human. So all this is in confidence, you understand?
Yes, of course, they won't tell us so.
We know Mr. Briggs, sir.
Yes.
He'd be very upset if we disturbed his garden and then found...
Yes, I understand.
Then there's another thing.
Hmm?
You're new in these parts, aren't you?
Oh, new? No, not exactly new. We've been here for 20 years. Well, ever since the estate was built, in fact.
Oh, this happened well before that. 30 years before. In those days, we had a character round here. A rough character called Sam Stone.
Oh, and can my bone be connected with Sam Stone?
Well, we're only surmising, Mr. Gray.
Mm.
You see, the inspector wants to clear up a little mystery. Sam Stone was no good. He was a drunkard and he'd served 2 sentences in prison. Well, one night, he disappeared.
You mean he disappeared during the night?
Well, let's put it this way. One day he was here, the next day he wasn't. There was a burglary, you see.
Oh, so he could have cleared off with the loot?
Perhaps. Some say he was murdered.
Murdered? Oh, and they... buried him at the bottom of our garden? Oh, how horrible.
Well, it wasn't the bottom of our garden in those days, my dear. Oh, but no. This bone was 5 feet down, officer. They wouldn't have buried him that deep, surely.
Sam Stone had a lot of friends. If they bumped him off, they'd have buried him deep enough to keep him quiet.
Good Lord.
Oh, Jonathan, give him that bone at once, dear. I'm not going to have the bone of a murdered criminal on these premises.
Yes, certainly. I'll get it.
And remember... mum's the word till we're sure. You never know with bones.
A brief visit, Mr. Gray.
Yes?
I've seen Briggs.
You've returned his trousers, then?
Yes, and I am pleased to say he has been most cooperative.
Oh, good.
I had some difficulty in persuading him.
Naturally, but you managed.
Well, I know how to handle a man like Briggs.
A man of your experience, yes. So, he's going to let you dig a trench in his lawn?
3 trenches to begin with.
To establish the layers.
Oh, you're learning, Mr. Gray, you're learning.
And then what?
And then I shall skim the top off his lawn and then work down inch by inch, in the approved manner, until I reach the burial site.
Splendid.
Of course, I'll need extra help. I want to work fast. So I've enlisted 6 students.
Would you like me to help?
Oh, tact, Mr. Gray. Briggs is still hostile to you because of the damage you did to his fence. Vandalism, he calls it.
Oh, pity. Few things would give me greater pleasure than digging up that man's lawn.
Jonathan, the policeman's called again.
Oh, come in, officer. What's the news?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Gray. I've brought your bone back.
Yeah, but we don't want it. I think I made it quite clear that I do not want the bone of a murdered criminal.
Oh, but this isn't Sam Stone's bone, Mrs. Gray.
Isn't it?
Well, whose is it then? I mean, it's got to belong to somebody.
Oh, yes. It belongs to a sheep.
A sheep? Oh, I see. The old Stone Age men must have eaten sheep and scattered the bones about. If they had sheep, that is.
Oh, no, this wasn't an old Stone Age sheep.
Oh?
No, before you came here, this was all farmland.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
Owned by Farmer Preston. Well, he had a bad dose of foot and mouth. In the 20s, that was. Had to slaughter dozens of sheep.
Really? I find this very interesting. Do you, Mildred?
Oh, yes, Jonathan. I certainly do.
And after he slaughtered the sheep, he had to bury them.
Yes, sir. The usual practice was to dig a pit.
Well, officer, my wife and I are glad to have your assurance that the bone is not human. Thank you very much for coming. They're certainly hard at it, Mildred.
Oh, yes. I like the way they've already skimmed off the top of the lawn.
All those students working with such enthusiasm. Oh, to be young. Mm.
Here, Jonathan, when are you going to tell them?
Who am I to interfere with an expert like Mr. Trickett? Let them dig down until they've unearthed the sheep's graveyard. I only hope I'm around to see their faces.
Yes,
as I've said. I've had enough of archaeology. What I need now is some less exacting hobby.
Gardening, for example.
Yeah. It's beginning to rain. Soon it'll be very muddy. Good. We'll go inside.
Jonathan.
Yes.
I'm wondering, what will Mr. Briggs do when they find they've wrecked his garden to find a pile of sheep bones?
Well, knowing Mr. Briggs's temperament, my dear, I should imagine he'll take Mr. Trickett to court.
And we'll be able to read all about it in the papers.
It will add interest to life. Come on, come inside.
In Jonathan's Dig by Hadrian Rogers, Jonathan was played by Geoffrey Matthews and Mildred by Elizabeth Morgan. Mr. Trickett, John Badley, Mr. Briggs, Hayden Jones, Mr. Walters, Terry Malloy, and the policeman, Ralph Lawton. The play was directed in our Birmingham studios by Roger Pine.